Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Forever Dog.
Welcome to another episode of Best Show Bests, the greatest hits of the best show, with me, your host, Tom Sharpling. If you like what you hear, make sure you join us every Tuesday night on Twitch at 6 p.m. Pacific for a brand new episode of the Best Show featuring callers, celebrity guests, live music, and plenty of surprises. Enjoy! All right, just one second. Mm-hmm. We'll be back. Best Show, you're on the air.
Really great show tonight.
Oh, thank you.
A lot of fun, a lot of fun. I'd never heard of Adam Resnick before I discovered his book, and I loved it.
Oh, you loved his book?
Oh, I did love it, yeah. Yeah, so it's cool to hear an interview with him.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a great book.
I'll tell you what, I could have used a whole book of Merv, his dad.
Oh, that's yeah, thanks. Yeah, people seem to like Merv.
And I love it. I think it's great.
I respect that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
the thing with the frosted mini wheats.
Uh-huh.
I love that.
You like that? Yeah. That was
great. Tom, what's your favorite part of the book?
I still feel like, for me, nothing beats the Booker story.
That to me is my
all-time favorite.
That's Letterman's favorite story, too, with him.
Runs.
I like the frosted mini wheats better.
Okay.
Cool.
Well, I mean, everybody can have a favorite, so.
Oh, wow, let me write this down. Yeah. Everybody can have a favorite.
Yeah, well, yeah, okay. Why don't you write it down?
Oh, maybe I will. Maybe I'm doing it right now.
Maybe you should. If you need to point that out from some sarcastic angle, then maybe that's something you need to let sink in a little bit. I didn't mean for it to be a burst of wisdom with you. What?
You just landed yourself in a forest of trouble, son.
I landed myself in a forest of trouble. Why am I in a forest of trouble?
Because this is Raccoon Face.
Shut up. This is Raccoon Face.
Yes, it is.
Uh-huh. Well, I just want to tell everybody. I'll tell you, Adam, you're not from my town. For people who don't know, people not from Newbridge, ever since like the late 60s, there's been this legend of a guy out in the forest of the Newbridge Forest, the wild man of Newbridge. And there's all these stories about him. It's like the mythology of the worst. The worst one is that his face is like, it was disfigured. Because there was like he had a fight with like one of the 15-foot long orange bears that roam the forest out in Newbridge. So then he had to suture this giant dead raccoon onto his own face. And that's why he's called Raccoon Face. And that he's like, it's just his myth where he's like, he's supposed to be like, some people call him like a rabid wood nymph or like a cannibalistic mutant, bloodthirsty Manson-esque sadist, who would like beat his victims with a whip. Oof. Made out of the elastic from his underwear. And I've never seen a picture. As far as I know, he's never been photographed and his existence has never actually been documented. And,
so it's like an urban legend?
Yeah, I think it's like a giant myth, and that said, I guess I can talk about this. you know, as a kid, I was camping in the forest, Newbridge Forest. I was probably 15 at the time, and it would have been me and my mime troupe, who was with the Little Silent Stinkers, and we went on a camping trip, and I woke up early one morning because I had to go to the, you know, number one. And so I walked like about 50 feet from the campsite, and then I just felt like it was weird. It did feel like someone or like something was like watching me in the, you know, in the woods. And I was trying to just do my, you know what. And I couldn't, and I started to get scared, and I could hear branches and twigs snapping, and then I just remember a smell. It was like, I guess the only way I could describe it would be, it would be like a cross between like a, this is gonna sound like I'm, this is hard to describe, I guess like halfway between like a burnt helicopter and like a pile of like wet tractor tires that would have been like stewing for days in a vat full of like yoga mats, like fetid yoga mats. And then, I mean, I just remember just being terrified, and I could just feel this thing getting closer to me. And then I kind of realized there was no way I was going to be able to, you know, do what I had to do there, you know, I guess for lack of a better term, my business. And so then I, you know, zip up my jean shorts and, you know, look over my shoulder, and there's this giant, like a humanoid, I guess I'd call, like a giant humanoid, like in tattered clothing, just kind of like running off. And I was back into like away from me, and I was so scared, I just ran home. I didn't even go back to the campsite. I just ran home, and that was like 15 miles away. And, you know, it really did shake me up. That I've never talked about it before. And, you know, to make matters worse, you know, when I got home, I realized I dropped in back at the site where all this happened. I dropped my most valuable, like my most prized possession, which was a
the ultra rare Never Ready misprint Wacky Packages card.
Wait, what's that?
Yeah, it was spelled REDDIE, right?
For the Never Ready battery.
Yep, there were only 5 known to be in circulation, right?
But how did you know that that's what it was?
Because I was there.
Oh, no one's, I've never told this story in my entire life to anyone.
I know.
Oh my God. Wait, okay. If this is really Raccoon Face, I mean, I know what you were wearing that day.
Right.
And, I mean, if you can tell me what it was, if you were wearing like, it was like I'm just trying to think how to, I'm going to describe it, and you tell me.
I'll tell you what you were wearing. How about that?
You'll tell me what I was wearing.
Yeah.
Okay, because I remember what I was wearing.
Okay.
I remember what you were wearing.
I remember what you were wearing.
Well, I remember what you were wearing, too. And I'm not going to tell you what I was wearing.
I'll tell you what you were wearing.
You're going to tell me.
The aforementioned jean shorts,
uh-huh.
a Rat concert shirt,
uh-huh,
a yellow bandana around your neck, and white puffy high top sneakers. And you also had a red visor that said, "I'm a little silent stinker."
That is creeping me out. This is raccoon face.
That's right,
oh,
son.
Oh my God. And what you were wearing, like a hoodie.
That's correct.
Yeah. I just wanted to get what we were wearing out of the way there. What we were both wearing. I can't believe this is raccoon face. This is like, you're like larger than life. It's like the Loch Ness Monster or like Bigfoot.
Oh, well, that's not at all insulting. Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, you know, it's like, for lack of a better word, you know, you're like a creature that like nobody was sure whether you even existed or not. And I mean, I was not prepared to ever talk to Raccoon Face, but I would, can I ask you some questions?
Sure.
You know, I can.
So, oh, hey, hang on.
What?
Show me some respect, okay? Call me Mr. Face.
Well, I called you Raccoon Face. That's your...
No, call me Mr. Face.
Okay, Mr. Face. So Raccoon is your first name?
No, you shut up.
Okay.
All right, and this is exactly why I'm calling in here, because there's all kinds of misconceptions about me, all right?
Uh-huh.
Okay,
uh-huh.
There's been a lot of crazy, hurtful, disturbing things said about me over the last 40 years, uh-huh, and I want to set the record straight tonight.
Uh-huh. Really?
Yes.
Okay.
So fire away.
Sure. Okay, well, the first question I would ask is, like, how did you end up in Newbridge Forest, which, I mean, however many years ago? What led up to you ending up there?
Well, it's quite a story, son. You see, back in the summer of 69, I was a senior at Newbridge High School for the lesser motivated.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know if you know it, but that was a very turbulent time in our town's history. Mm-hmm. Mayor Kern had everyone on pens and needles thinking that the Apollo astronauts had brought moon rickets back to Earth and that we were all going to die unless we took Kern moon ricket serum. Combine that with Officer Harrop Sr. initiating martial law after he saw the association perform on Ed Sullivan. Yeah, and you can see how the city was a powder keg waiting to explode.
Yeah, well, I mean, the association on Ed Sullivan was like a big...
He was scared.
He was scared. Officer Harrop Sr. was scared.
He was. He thought it was Along Comes Machete.
The song Along Came Mary.
Yeah.
Yeah. He thought it was like a hyper violent song.
He did, yeah. Oh yeah. And he uh-huh. thought it was Everyone Knows It's Howitzer.
Well, no, it's Windy, right?
I think it is. Yeah.
Yeah. But not Howitzer.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, I don't know.
So
he was hard of hearing, but anyways, you know, that was the climate at that point. And, you know, it was very difficult, but me and three of my best buddies, Mickey Monroe, Dave Ploppleton, and Montgomery Davies Jr., we snuck out of town and we headed up straight to Bethel, New York for the big Woodstock Festival.
Wow. So you went to Woodstock.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I'll tell you, it was a lot of fun until.
Until what?
Well, you know, security was very lax back in those days,
mm-hmm.
you know, so we snuck backstage and on the second night, well, I was flipping on doses.
Uh-huh.
Well, but don't judge me because back then everybody was flipping on doses.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Johnson was flipping on doses half the time.
Johnson?
Oh, yeah.
Johnson, like...
Lyndon Johnson.
Lyndon Johnson, like President
oh, yeah.
John, LBJ.
Yes, yeah.
He was just regularly...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'd never heard that.
Yeah, you know, that footage where he says, I will not accept the nomination, you know, of my mm-hmm. party to run for president?
Yes.
You know why he did that?
Why?
Because he wanted to dose more.
So it was getting in the way of his
dosing.
His dosing. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So anywho, yeah. I get up on stage with CCR.
Uh-huh.
And they're doing Keep on Shuglin'.
Yeah.
And I was really connecting with the music.
Okay.
Yeah, I was really feeling Doug's backbeat.
Okay.
And they started doing this extended outro, and I was just riding that wave of Louisiana swamp mojo that only a band from the Bay Area can deliver.
Yeah.
And I started chugling my way towards the middle of the stage.
Okay.
And I was completely lost in the chugle.
Yeah.
And then I started chugling my clothes off.
Oh, no.
Yeah, all of them.
Uh-huh.
And all the while, you know, I'm doing that, I'm really chugling my buns off.
Uh-huh. I gotta say, I don't like where this is going.
Oh, I'm sorry, I said buns.
No, no, that's not what I meant. It's okay, you can say buns.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, can I also say mother... liquor?
No, I bleeped all of that. You can't say any of that. Why would you do that?
Hey, you don't yell at Raccoon Face. It yells at you.
It, yeah, okay. I've never heard that version of that, but all right.
There's a lot of versions you haven't heard.
Okay, well, I'm sorry, Mr. Face. I can't believe I'm calling
you that.
Yeah, I can't believe I'm doing it, but
all right.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live. At the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Anyway, so I started chugling something else.
Ugh. I don't. Please don't tell me what.
Yeah. I was chugling my forest bathroom area.
Oh.
Real hard. Real frantic.
Ugh. I hate your. I'm not even going to say it. It's bad enough it got said once.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like this at all, Mr. Face.
Well, look, so anyway, I look up and CCR are still on stage, but they stop playing. It's total silence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Stu, Doug, John, and Ned are staring at me with these looks of shock on their faces.
Uh-huh. Well, two things come to mind here with that.
Okay.
I guess A would be that... that's maybe the most repulsive thing I've ever heard, that you were chugling on stage to the point where the band was done. And the other thing, point is, you said it was Ned. There's no Ned. It was, Tom, not Ned.
I never called you Ned.
Oh, no, I meant that there's no Ned in, it was Tom Fogerty. There was no Ned in Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Oh, you know, you're really starting to raise the hackles on my haunches, son.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't know what to tell you, Mr. Face. And
I don't know either.
Yeah, well, I don't know why I can't just call you Raccoon Face. It's the
name. Because I don't like it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, from you.
All right.
So anyway, flash forward to Monday, okay?
Mm-hmm.
On the way back to Newbridge, the guys tell me that my chugling is going to be the hit of the movie that they're making of Woodstock.
Uh-huh.
Like a documentary.
Yeah.
So I get really scared because they keep telling me how when the movie comes out, I'm going to be super famous, and they start making up all these names that people are going to start calling me once the movie comes out.
Once the movie comes out and everybody sees you on the movie screen.
Yeah, they start calling me names like Penis Whitewater, Revival,
mm-hmm.
Woodcock,
mm-hmm.
Canned Meat. Who's that playing with their Whipple on stage at Woodstock?
That one's a bit of a stretch.
Tim Hardon.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Tim.
Ravi Wankar.
Okay. Any others?
Couple more.
Uh-huh.
Not So Sly and the Family Bone.
I don't get that one.
Well.
Oh, I get it now. Okay, that's Sly and the Family. Oh, the Family. Never mind. Okay. Go ahead.
And Jimi Hendrix.
Hendrix.
Yep.
Not Hendrix. Okay.
No. Yeah. Uh-huh. So by the time we make it back to Newbridge, I was just beside myself with worry.
By the time we made it back to Newbridge,
then I don't get it.
Well, it's a different. It's a Creed. It's a Crosby, Stills, and Nash song. Never mind. So you go back to Newbridge, and you're now what? You're terrified of this.
I'm terrified. Yeah. My life is over. So when we stop to get gas at the Lubin Gulp, just outside of Newbridge, I catch a glimpse of the cover of the Newbridge Republican Times Herald Democrat.
And what was on the cover?
A huge picture of me on stage at Woodstock, chugling my dink.
Oh, okay.
And then there's a headline over it that reads, "Local perv goes on dungaree rummage on world stage. Bring shame to Newbridge. Must be killed."
Wow, that's a pretty brutal headline.
It was. It even printed my address, 325 North Pancake Boulevard. So I knew right then and there that I could never go home again. You know, I knew I couldn't face my family or my friends ever. So I snuck off and I made my way into Newbridge Forest.
Wow. You've been there ever since?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That is... Wow. Well, Mr. Face, I guess, can I ask you another question?
Sure.
How do you survive out there in the forest? I mean, like, because next to the deepest parts of the Amazon, Newbridge Forest is pretty much known as the most inhospitable place on Earth.
Yeah, you're telling me. Mm-hmm. Like just the other day, I was almost trampled by a massive quad-footed doodle boop.
By a what?
A quad-footed doodle boop?
What is that?
You're kidding.
No, I don't know what that is.
But I'm sorry. You know, I've been in here so long with such limited contact with the outside world that I forget that only 20% of Newbridge Forest has ever been explored.
Mm-hmm.
There's all these animals, bugs, birds, and creatures here that the scientists don't know about. And, you know, the massive quad-footed doodle boop is just one of them. It's kind of like a cross between a mid-sized elephant and a hummingbird, but with a tiny ferret head.
Huh. Wow. That sounds that sounds terrifying.
Yeah.
To picture. Is that the only, what you said, there's other ones that people don't know? Like, what are some other creatures that people outside of Newbridge Forest wouldn't know about?
Well, there's, like, rabid tree blobs, land gnomes, 14-foot crickets, thrush monsters, giant lightning bugs, giant thunder bugs, Tom Tricoli's dogs, a lot of stuff like that, crazy, crazy things.
Wow. Wow. And what do you do for shelter out there?
Well, for years I lived in a World War II Japanese warplane.
Wait, there's a Japanese warplane in Newbridge Forest?
Oh, yeah, several of them. I guess they were flying to New York to drop bombs until the giant Shih Tzu batted them away.
Wait, the what? The giant Shih Tzu?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know anything about that.
Oh, yeah. I guess it must have gotten loose from its owner, you know, back in the 40s or something, and it ran into the forest, and it probably fell into one of the forest's many radioactive ponds.
Mm-hmm.
And then it became the size of a skyscraper, and it must have thought that the planes were these fun doggy toys.
Uh-huh. Wow. Yeah. Huh.
Yeah. There's all kinds of radioactive mutants roaming around here.
Okay.
The most heinous one I could probably describe best as a giant half-animal part-party machine hybrid.
Huh. I mean, that's insane. I don't think anyone, like, in the outside world knows about any of this.
No. A lot of weird stuff going on here. Weird, wild stuff. Weird, wild stuff. You know who that is?
That's Johnny Carson.
It is, yeah. He's still on, right?
What's that?
He's still on TV, right?
Still, Johnny Carson, no. He died probably about 10 years ago at this point.
Oh, no!
I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it happened, yeah.
Well, who took over his show? Ed McMahon?
No, Ed McMahon is dead also.
No!
He didn't take it. It was Jay Leno took it over.
Oh, I love him.
You like him?
He's great.
Well, he's a little different than you might remember if you still think Carson's on the air. The Jay Leno you're in your mind is different from the one that the rest of us
Okay. Well, that's fair enough. Yeah. But look, anyway, to further answer your question, when the Japanese warplane fell apart, I ended up moving into one of the crashed alien spacecrafts.
So there's not only Japanese warplanes, there's an alien, a crashed alien spacecraft out in the Newbridge Forest.
Yeah.
I don't know where that came from. But
I don't know. I just made that up. There's actually several of them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I guess the occupants must have beamed out before the ships crashed.
Mm-hmm.
But they left behind all this cool stuff like weapons and cutlery and magazines. They have magazines in space. I didn't know that.
Magazine. You'd think that of all the things to get, like we are evolving past magazines out here in the end, but aliens who are traveling through from planet to planet or galaxy to galaxy, they're still reading magazines.
They are, yeah. My favorite is Space Fun.
Space Fun magazine.
Yep.
So that's one of the magazines on the ship.
Yeah, there's also one called Space. Oh, did you bleep me?
I did bleep you on that. Even though it's an alien thing, you can't say that.
Yeah, they love that stuff up there.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That is.
They go on spacesuit rummages.
Weird that that's the most shocking part of an alien. Me finding out about the existence of aliens is me within 45 seconds being repulsed by their choice of magazines.
Hey, they have needs. But speaking of spacesuits, they were too small for me to fit in, so that's kind of a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, when I saw you, you were wearing this hoodie that was kind of ripped up, really, you were just in tattered, like wild person clothes when I saw you way back when I was out there camping. And I mean, that was so long ago at this point. And I mean, there's no way you could still be wearing that tattered hoodie. What are you wearing now?
Well, the clothes I wore to Woodstock, you know, of course they slowly began to disintegrate. And by the early 90s, I was down to a loincloth made out of my striped Banlon shirt.
Uh-huh.
It was sick. I don't know if you ever worn a loincloth, but they're not fun. They look cool.
Uh-huh.
But they're not fun. There's a lot of what I call crevice creeping. I hope that's not too much. That's not.
Well, it's
sick to say.
It's a little. It's a little. It's not my favorite. How about
sure,
that?
Sure, sure, sure. But luckily, I found some. I think you call them hammer pants that were left behind when a rap group from Newbridge was shooting a video here.
Hammer pants. Wait, how do you know about things like videos and rap and all the things we talked about at the beginning here, like, you know, Adam Resnick's book and everything, if you've had no contact with the outside world for all those years?
Oh, you'd be surprised what hikers leave behind at campsites. I find magazines, books, like Adam's music players with tapes compact discs that are still in them.
Uh-huh. Well, compact. Okay. Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 Have you heard of this singer named Tom Waits?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not a huge Tom Waits fan.
Wait, what?
What?
He's like a hobo singing.
Yeah,
he sings the hobo's music.
Well, it's like hobo's music, but it's not. It's like a very imagine like a high class Los Angeles hobo, like a guy with so much money that he can start dressing like he's got no money.
Oh well,
it's not my thing.
Okay, all right. Well, what about Billy Joel? The tape I have is called Glass Houses, and is this what punk rock is?
No, Billy Joel is definitely not punk rock.
Oh, I just assumed because the music is so aggressive and he sings with such anger.
Uh-huh.
He's throwing out like a rocket at a window on the cover, and he wears a leather jacket like Brando.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't. No, it's really a pretty affected thing for who Billy Joel is. It's not very very representative, and no, punk is different than that.
Okay, well, I also found this compact disc that I assume is used as some kind of torture device to get information out of prisoners.
Mm-hmm. What is that?
Hang on, let me find it real quick. It's called Public Animal Number 1, and it's by Gigi Allen and the Murder Junkies.
Yeah, no, that's a real artist. That's not a torture device. Gigi Allen is a real recording artist, and he actually died about 20 years ago.
Oh, he passed on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did pass on. Uh-huh.
Hey, look, I want to correct you on something that you said. You said that I don't have much contact with the outside world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've been out a few times.
Really?
Yeah.
So you've been out of Newbridge Forest. Like, when?
I did a Bob's Burgers last year.
Wait, what is... Wait, you did a Bob's Burgers.
Yeah, it's a cartoon show.
Uh-huh. No, I know. I'm fully aware of what Bob's Burgers is.
Oh.
Yeah. But you did, when you say you did one, what does that mean?
I did a voice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
there
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
That,
Have you done one?
No, I haven't, actually. Have not been asked to do a Bob's Burgers. It's funny, huh? I guess,
Some they people, must have a reason. Well, I don't know.
Some people do four voices on it. That's fun. That's funny. And
really?
I'm still at zero. You've done one voice on it, which is
I've done one. Yeah. Do you know anyone else who's done them?
Oh, sure, plenty of people. I would probably pretty much at this point name who hasn't done one, and it's a shorter list with one name on it.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, me. Hmm. And okay, I'm gonna stop with that whole thing.
Okay.
What? Mr. Face.
Yes.
What do you do for food out there in the woods?
Oh, you know, I forage around. You know, I get nuts and I get berries, that kind of stuff. Sometimes people leave food for me, too.
Wait. They leave food for you?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Like...
Well, like, there's this guy named Bryce who leaves sandwiches and then these other fun things for me. I don't need to get into what those fun things are, though, do I?
Uh-huh. Well, I don't think we need to get into that.
Right.
There's already been enough talk of that right. stuff.
Well, there's this other guy named Mike who leaves beer for me and Grateful Dead tapes and Grateful Dead updates. That uh-huh. sort of stuff.
And yeah. updates.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I guess they played their last shows recently.
Yeah, they did these shows with the guy from Fish taking over for the late, great Jerry Garcia.
Wait, what's his name? Abe Vigoda?
Not Fish, the TV show.
Oh.
The guy from the band Fish.
Oh, I was asking because one of my few reading things I have is a TV guide from 1979.
Mm-hmm. So you just read about shows?
Yeah, I would kind of make them up in my mind.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you're just making up episodes of Fish?
Yeah, yeah. In my mind, he goes back in time to the 1910s. Okay. Is it called the 10s?
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, and he goes on the Titanic.
Fish goes on the Titanic.
Yeah, and then he dies on it and then becomes a ghost fish. He was also a detective of the deep. It's called Fish, : Detective of the Deep.
So it's the... The police officer, Fish, played by Abe Vigoda.
That's correct.
Who passes away, who time travels.
A, yes.
And I'm not here to poke holes in your thing, but he's from...
Well, maybe I'd like that.
Well, he's from the 70s. So why would he go on the Titanic if he's from the 1970s? He clearly must have heard what's going to happen to him. On the Titanic.
Well, we all have blind spots. Maybe that's his.
Like, he just never checked out any news. Or, like, he just went back and then decided, oh, here's a cruise.
Maybe every time in his life when someone was about to inform him mm-hmm. of the Titanic's fate, he looked away or got distracted by something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well,
it's plausible.
It's very, you know what? Fair enough. I thought I had poked a hole in your, I'm sorry I said that because now it's going to set you off on some flight of fancy.
I wonder if I could write a movie called Titanic Distractions.
Titanic distraction, so that yes. he gets distracted right before somebody talks about the Titanic for his entire life.
Yes.
And then he goes back in time, and then suddenly the first thing he does is decide to go on an old-fashioned cruise.
Yeah.
Because he, sure, you know what? I guess it's all possible. Man. Well, Mr. Face.
You can call me Raccoon Face now.
Okay, Raccoon Face. I got to say, this was as unexpected as anything that's ever happened on this show. And this is definitely one of the most surprising phone calls I've ever gotten on The Best Show. And, you know, you have, to be fair, there's been so much legend about you. And you have really... corrected all the misconceptions about you that people have had and misconceptions that I've had about you.
Well, thank you, son. You know, it hurts to be judged so unfairly and to be seen as some kind of a monster or a disfigured troglodytic nightmare, a raccoon-faced freak.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I thought the raccoon sewing thing was made up, but...
So no, that's real.
Oh, so it is. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I didn't do it because I got mauled by one of those big orange bears.
Uh-huh. Well, how did you damage your face then?
I was on Wild Trains for Shane Wheel
Wine. Wait, what was that?
I was on Wild Shrooms pretending to be Bill Wyman, and I fell off a cliff and landed on my face.
Uh-huh. Ugh. Well, look, so I get knowing your history, the whole thing about being on... Shrooms. Yeah.
Yeah,
but I'm not sure why anyone would pretend to be Bill Wyman. You know, I mean, when the Rolling Stones, he just stood there.
You know. He just stood there. He's not in the Stones anymore?
No. Bill Wyman left the Rolling Stones. That's early 90s, probably.
Oh, no! Doomed to play tiny clubs if, in fact, they ever dare tour it at all, which I know is an absolute impossibility. Uh-huh. They'll never go without Bill.
Yeah, well, Raccoon Face, I'm sorry to give you this news flash here, but they currently actually are on a tour of stadiums right now, the Rolling Stones, like at this very moment.
There's no way. There's no way that the Stones could possibly exist without Dr. Stoic, the bass surgeon.
Wait, what?
You never heard him called that?
Dr. Stoic, the bass surgeon?
No, Dr. Stoic, comma, the bass surgeon.
Okay, but you didn't say the comma when you said it.
Well, it's implied.
Okay.
You dipple dip.
Okay, well, look. I'm sorry you just found out about Bill Wyman. Let me just get this whole thing back on target a little bit.
Okay.
I gotta say, it's great to know that, ultimately you're a pretty normal guy who, you know, even though there's been a ton of bizarre circumstances that, you know, put you on this path and that, you know, nobody has ever taken, that you've made it and you survived. I think that's pretty awesome.
Well, I appreciate that, son, and I appreciate you taking the time to understand me.
Mm-hmm. You know, and because there's so many legends and so much stuff, and you know, you're it's good to know you. You know, look, we're all a little goofy in our own way, myself included, and
yeah.
But okay, you're not supposed to take that kind of.
Oh well,
but. You're a regular guy, really. You know, there's all these legends that, like, you're not any of the monsters, like the you know, like the Zodiac Hugger or like the Newbridge Mystery Ape or the Newbridge Mauler or the Dumpster Peeper or the Wayne Coyne of the Wilderness or the Newbridge Exsanguinator. Like,
oh no, I'm all those guys.
What's that?
I'm all of those guys. All the people you mentioned, they're all me.
Really?
Yes.
So the Newbridge Exsanguinator.
Yup.
Well, if you're the Newbridge Exsanguinator, can you I prove it?
Well, on March 4th, 2003, I... without spilling one drop of blood.
Oh, my God. I just bleeped a lot of that out, but you are the Newbridge Exsanguinator.
Yeah.
Cool. So you are you're a terrible person after all. I don't want anything to do with you, raccoon face. You know, let me just ask you one other question though, before I say goodnight.
Yes.
How are you even calling the show?
Oh, Chapo lent me his cell phone.
Who?
My new amigo, El Chapo.
El Chapo, the head of the Sinaloa cartel?
Oh, yeah.
Who he escaped from prison a few weeks ago?
See, he's here with me right now.
So El Chapo's hiding in Newbridge Forest with you right now?
No. He's with me hiding in the closet right behind you.
Wait, no, you're not. You're in the studio closet.
Yes. Get ready to meet Raccoon Face and my little amigo. What the? Well, didn't you fill it up before we left the forest? Oh, you El Dippo. Look, I'll tell you, this half-assed guano might fly down in Mexico, but it sure don't fly up here, my man. Ow! You dropped the chainsaw on my foot! Oh!
Mike?
Oh!
Mike.
Foot is swelling, you dip!
I'm gonna keep him going.
Oh!
But just slide that chair under the closet doorknob.
Oh! Oh!
Hey, Raccoon Face?
Oh, what?
What's going on now?
Oh, I yanked my back!
Uh-huh.
Oh, my raccoon face is coming loose.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Okay. Good job. Mike just put a chair
up. Oh, man. It's hard to even stand up. Oh, what's that?
Nothing.
Oh, El Chapo forgot that he has a knife. Look out, Tom, because that CB radio station is about to get turned into a bloody car wash. What the? This door won't open.
Oh yeah, we put a chair up against it. It's not going to open. You're stuck.
That's not a real thing, is it?
It's working right now. Yeah.
No. I mean, I know it works in movies, like when Peter Benchley does that to the shark in Jaws after Fred Schneider says their boat needs to be way bigger. I didn't think it worked in real life.
Yeah, well, it does. Just so you know, I just called the Heinous Creeps Division of the Newbridge Police Department, and they're going to be here any second.
Oh, come on. Please let us out.
No.
We won't be bad, please.
We won't be bad.
Please.
No, no way.
Please, we're knocking nicely.
No, I'm not letting you out. I don't care how much you ask nicely. You're bad guys.
Oh, come on.
No.
Oh, it's working again. Oh, you're going to get it now. Death to CB radio tyrants. Oh, no. And died again. This is very frustrating, I got to say. Well, amigo, looks like it's the end of the line for us. Wonder what they're serving for dinner in El Hut tonight.
What was that?
Yeah. This chainsaw has dos hornos.
This chainsaw has two horns.
See?
Yeah.
Well, talk to you later, I guess.
Well, you're
going to settle back here, all right?
Yeah, get comfortable.
All right.
Well, Raccoon face?
Thanks a lot for nothing.
Well, you're the...
El dip munch.
Okay, and he hung up. Oh, my God. He's in the closet. The two of them are in there, Mike, with a chainsaw that doesn't have any gas in it, apparently.
Wow.
How about that? Don't open that closet.
Fuse on that guy. Just hung up on you.
Yeah. Don't open the closet, Adam. Yeah.
So I'm confused. Did he find my book in the woods or not?
He did.
He did.
Yeah. Look, however it...
Yeah.
However you get to it, you get to it. You know what I mean? You know?
The Best Show is produced in partnership with the Forever Dog Podcast Network. The show is hosted by Tom Sharpling and features John Worster, Michael Lisk, Jason Gore, and Pat Byrne. The show is produced and written by Jason Gore, Pat Byrne, Michael Lisk, Brett Davis, John Worster, and Tom Sharpling. The Best Show is executive produced by Tom Sharpling, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Co-executive produced by Jason Gore and Pat Byrne, segment producer Michael Lisk. The show is engineered and mastered by Andrew Gleason and Wesley Knapp. Graphic design, video editing, and social media by Brett Davis. Website and technical support by Martine Sellis. And the show is recorded at Forever Dog Studios in Los Angeles. Support The Best Show on Patreon over at patreon.com/thebestshow. And follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Best Show for Life. That's Best Show 4 Life. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.